Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast.
I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel.
Where you can master the art of enriching your life.
What kind of kindergarten shit is this?
And finding a path to financial freedom.
Who the fuck was supposed to teach me how to do my taxes?
So sit back, relax, and step into the Rich Room.
You know I can't help but these, cause they know they can never touch these. So baby, let me talk my shit, or I might just throw another fit.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Rich Room Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Sobel. I've kind of been a little bit inconsistent lately with the podcast, and I would be more consistent if my life was more consistent. You see, I've had hella issues going on, and the issues still persist. So the dryer broke. I told y'all about that. Sent me over the fucking edge, right? Made me have a little bit of a minty bee on air. That's okay. That happens. That's normal. Well, the guy came to fix the dryer, and then the dryer broke again. Go fucking figure. He has since been back and has since fixed the dryer. I still don't think that it's working in tip-top shape. I don't know about y'all, but I do not think that the dryer sensors ever fully get the clothes dry. It never happens. Like the waistbands of like sweatpants or whatever, they never get dry. You always have to do another little cycle. And then it says, oh, the clothes are dry, so it turns off automatically. I don't know. That's some dryer problems. Then two windows had significant leaks in them, and so it was pouring down rain the other weekend, and we just have water coming in through Madison's bedroom window. And then we notice that there's a leak in the fucking ceiling in the living room. Bro, I don't know what the fuck to do. Could have done without that problem. And then the ant problem that we've had since we moved in here is still going on. The ants are still here. I should start charging them rent at this point. Oh, and the fucking kicker, is that the leaks in the garage, the ones that were supposed to be fixed before I even moved in to this place over 2 months ago, still have not been fixed. The garage is still leaking. And so now I'm going to have workers here again. And I don't want to do it. They're like, oh, we're not going to disturb you because we're not going to come in the house. I'm like, well, you're disturbing the fuck out of me because you are making hella construction noises and my dog is going nuts constantly all day while the people are here. So I can't get a fucking thing done because the dog is going absolutely bonkers. And, you know, I would plan ahead and, you know, maybe board my dog or have someone watch her for the day or something like that. But no, these people, they don't tell me when they're coming to work. And so I just all of a sudden open my door in my jammies and there's a fucking dude there. Okay, some positives. This is the 1 year anniversary of the podcast. The actual day, 1 year ago on September 7th, I recorded and published my first podcast episode. So I have been doing this shit for a year. Really, I've been doing this shit for 2 years because it took me a whole year to even get comfortable listening to myself, seeing myself on camera, for me to even publish anything, you know, out there in the world. So that's a big deal. Kudos to fucking me. Good for me. I've kept at this, even though it has been on a wee bit of an inconsistent basis. I have kept up with this for a whole fucking year. Good for me. I'm patting myself on the back, but I will not be celebrating with any alcohol at all because I am now dealing with gastrointestinal issues. More issues. Not the kind that you require an Imodium for, the kind that you require a doctor for. And I really think I might have brought it all on myself. In fact, I think I literally manifested it and the universe gave me exactly what I want. Let me explain. So, I started a brand called LP Rich. You're like, where the fuck is she going with this? How does this relate to her gastrointestinal issues? Okay. I started a brand called LP Rich. The first product is dropping in October. Very, very exciting. In order to sell said product, I need to have a website. And in order to have a website, I have to have visuals, images, videos, content for the website. Basically, I need to do a photo shoot. And I am. I'm doing a photo shoot on September 13th, which is Friday the 13th. I think it's lucky, quite honestly. But we're doing it on September the 13th, and I am going to model. Pause for reaction. I am not a model. I don't think I'm a model. I don't want to be a model. I think it would be really difficult to be a model because people are literally coming at your body and talking shit about your body all the time. I saw something on Instagram yesterday from one of the fashion weeks going on that this designer kicked a model out of his show because she said she couldn't walk. Not everyone can walk. The bitch can walk, but she's just not walking the way that he wants her to walk. So he kicked her out of the fucking show right before it started. I'm like, that is savage as fuck. Oh, and she was crying. The video was of her crying. Yeah, I don't want that. I don't want those problems. But at the same time, for my photo shoot, you bet your sweet ass I'm going to try and embody every damn supermodel there is out there. I'm going to channel Gisele Bündchen. I'm going to channel Adriana Lima. I'm going to channel Tyra Banks, Miss Tyra. And I'm going to get a good look. I know I am. And I'm not going to be able to drink alcohol, though, like I originally planned. Okay, so because I have this photo shoot next Friday, on Monday, I printed out a little sign that said, "You are a fashion model for the next 2 weeks." And I printed out two copies and I put one on my fridge and I put one on my food cabinet. This is to ensure that I will not snack excessively for the next 2 weeks because I love snacking and sometimes I can't control myself and that's my issue. That's my burden to bear. And having a visual, like a little sign, actually really helps me. So I put this sign up. And me and Madison have a lovely Labor Day. We lay outside in our backyard, put the little water mister that we have on. I had a few glasses of wine. It was lovely. Oh, also, because I was going to be a fashion model for the next 2 weeks, I was kind of going to have like a little last hurrah of food, like a little snackathon. But I really didn't even overdo it, but apparently I did. So I made myself a bowl of ramen and a grilled cheese sandwich, which was so fucking good. And I will admit, though, I ate it fast. I think I ate it faster than normal because I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited to have ramen. Because I don't normally eat it because it has a fuck ton of sodium in it, which ain't good for bloating. And then I made myself a sandwich. I love sandwiches, y'all. Sandwiches are the way to my heart. If you want to make me happy, give me a sandwich and we'll be best friends. That's all it takes, a sandwich. So I make myself a little ham sammy, probably scarf that bitch down too. And, you know, over the night I was having heartburn, which was normal when I have alcohol. And I wake up the next morning, I get up, I go for a 3-mile walk. I'm like feeling okay because usually, you know, it works itself out. I go to Pilates, and I will admit the heartburn was really present at Pilates. And I was like, oh my God, this hurts so much. I'm like, I am fighting for my fucking life in this Pilates class right now. And it's not because of Pilates, it was because of my heartburn. Wait, side note, something else happened at Pilates. So you take your shoes off at the beginning because you can't wear your shoes in the little studio. And I specifically bought shoes for Pilates. It's these like shiny black Birkenstock sandals with gold buckles. I wear them every day. They're probably one of my favorite shoes right now. Anywho, wore them to Pilates, took them off, went into class. Came out of class, They were fucking gone. Someone took them from the Pilates class. How does that even happen? So I had to wear the other girl's shoes home, and they were my favorite. They were pink, and they were pink Birkenstocks, but they were pink, and they had pink fuzzies in them. And that's just not my vibe. I'm more of a sleek black gold buckle kind of bitch. Anyways, came out of Pilates, still fighting for my life, still dealing with insane heartburn. And I'm like, fine, I'll just wear this bitch's shoes. So I go back home in this bitch's shoes. And when I get home, the heartburn has intensified significantly. And it has now progressed to full-on acid reflux. I will spare you the details, but I was around a toilet for like 9 hours on Tuesday. It hurt so bad. And as I'm sure you can imagine, I couldn't eat anything. So Wednesday rolls around. I'm researching what kind of food is anti-acid. What kind of food can I eat? Turns out bananas and yogurt, pretty safe. Eat a banana, like, really slow, it's kind of okay. Eat a yogurt really slow. I'm talking over a span of hours. It's kind of okay. Then all of a sudden, it returns after I eat a cracker. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot do this. It feels like I was breathing fire. I was like Dracarys, bitch. I could have set this whole house on fire if I was a fucking dragon. It felt like that from the depths of my esophagus. So then on Thursday, I'm still very cautious to eat anything. I'm like scared. I'm traumatized about eating. I'm afraid if I eat, I'm going to have that feeling again. I think I maybe ate a banana on Thursday. Maybe. It became apparent to me on Thursday that this shit wasn't going to go away quickly on its own. So I was like, fuck, I gotta find a fucking doctor in a city I'm not familiar with, and I don't know where to go to a doctor here, and I don't even know really what kind of doctor. I ended up doing a telehealth appointment on Friday morning, got some medication, finally was able to fucking eat yesterday, and I had some soup, and it was delicious, and I was so grateful, I almost cried. But I went back and thought about it, and I was like, did I actually ask for this from the universe? Because I said I was going to be a fashion model for the next 2 weeks, but I didn't say how. And all of a sudden, I'm not eating for 4 days like a damn fashion model. I don't know what to think of it, but I do know this is helping my model self for the photo shoot next week. So maybe I'm a powerful witch and I literally just gave myself what I wanted. Who knows? Speaking of the photo shoot, I'm nervous. It's going to be an experience and I'm just going to have to dive all the way fucking in. I'm just going to have to be it. I'm going to have to own it. And there's literally no other choice because I can't half-ass it at this point. There's no room for being like insecure or fearful or self-conscious. I mean, I just gotta fucking go. I'm gonna channel Rihanna. I'm gonna channel Liz Taylor, who are essentially my two muses for this brand. I'm gonna channel Beyonce and all the supermodels of the world. And I'm gonna get it. I'm still fucking nervous. Okay, some other shit that happened. Y'all would not fucking even believe this. Okay, so the other house I moved out of, I had a great relationship with the landlord. In fact, I have said on this podcast that I thought she was one of the best landlords I've ever had. I have since had a change of heart. So back in like June, I think it's like 3 months in advance, I told my landlord that I was not renewing my lease. And she asked if she could show the house to try and lease it to someone else quicker. I said, of course. She was going to offer an August 1st move-in for the new tenant. She couldn't get a new tenant for August 1st, so I paid the rent. Even though there's ambiguity about whether the lease terminated then because she wanted to give it to another tenant, but whatever. I paid the rent in August. Then I come to find out that she has secured a tenant for September 1st. Fucking fantastic. Oh, and I contributed to this too. me and Madison, we cleaned, we lit candles, we had the nice lighting, we made the house look fucking nice anytime there was a showing, anytime. Because it was in my interest for her to lease it to someone else so that I wouldn't have to keep paying the rent. So, leases it for September 1st, fucking fantastic. 2 weeks before September 1st, she texts me and tells me that the money that her September 1st tenant paid was actually going to go to the real estate agents. That's normally what happens. So she would be on the hook for her September mortgage because it was not going to be covered by the new tenant September rent. Duh, you're the owner. So she texts me and she asks me if I can give her money to cover September rent. She wasn't asking for a loan. She wasn't saying she was going to pay it back. She wanted me to just give her money. Oh, and she said she's going through a hard time. She's going through a divorce. And I was like, okay. I felt really bad because that's a stressful. Obviously, I can relate. But I'm like, I'm not giving this bitch money. I mean, let's say I moved into the house and I'm going through a divorce and I'm like, hey, I'm really having a hard time. I'm going to need a break on the rent. Yeah, that wouldn't work. So it is insane to me that she's literally asking me for money. And where's the shame? Oh my God, like where the fuck is the shame? You're going to ask some person, you don't even know me, for money? Okay, so I declined and said that I'm not in a financial position to just give her money. But what I did offer was to give her advice. I'm a lawyer. I also just went through a divorce. I can be a good sounding board. Because I didn't want to offer her nothing. I didn't want to be like, sucks to suck. Have good luck with your divorce. I wanted to offer something because I'm a nice fucking person. Because I want to help. Ugh. Anyways. So, we did the final walkthrough at the house. I spent hours cleaning that house, hours. And I took such good care of it, too. So, I was pretty comfortable with the walkthrough that I was going to get my deposit back. And the house is like a little over 1,000 square feet. So, it's not a huge house at all. This bitch flew in from North Carolina to Miami to attend this walkthrough. That was suspicious from the jump. I'm like, kind of seems like you're gonna have an agenda. It's like kind of seems like you have a reason that you're attending this walkthrough. And it's like, oh my God, looks like you found some money for a flight. Did you fly first class, bitch? I know, she could have had miles, but still. So she shows up to the walkthrough. I'm sitting there with her agent. She comes to the walkthrough. And she goes over every single room, every single nook and cranny with a fine-tooth comb. She gets her glasses out. She's using them like it's like a magnifying glass, like she's bringing them closer and farther away from shit. I'm like, this bitch is trying to find anything she can find to try and keep my deposit, try and keep some fucking money for herself. And I was like, good luck, bitch, because I kept this shit real nice. So she finishes going through the house and then she goes in the backyard. And I was like, okay, well, I mean, I didn't do anything in the backyard. I mean, all that was required under my lease was for me to get a lawn service. And I got a lawn service and they came and trimmed the trees, or they trimmed the bushes, they trimmed the shrubs, and they cut the grass and they trimmed the hedges once a month. His name's Raul. Love him. Shout out Raul. So she goes outside and then she comes back in and she's like, okay, so we're going to put together an email and we're going to send it to you and to your agent, and just kind of going over the things that are still needing to be, you know, taken care of. And I was like, what? What? And I was like, you mean that you want me to pay for it? And she was like, well, yeah, so like yard maintenance means more than just like trimming the hedges and the shrubs and the stuff like that. And I'm like, are you serious? So I'm like, you got to show me. I was getting mad then. And I was nice the entire time. I was like talking, like making conversation. And then once she said that, I fucking flipped. I was like, you got to be more specific. Come show me exactly what you're talking about. So she has a point. The trees are tall and the neighbors' trees have started to grow into her yard. Okay, that's fair. However, not my responsibility under the fucking lease. I do not have to trim the trees and cut the neighbor's shrubs in order to comply with my obligations under the lease. So she's trying to argue with me, saying like it's a hazard, saying like it was part of my responsibility. And I'm just like, oh, fuck no, bitch. I start getting mad and then I try and calm myself down. And I was like, you know what? Put your email together, send it to me, copy my agent, and we'll go from there. I was kind of fuming. So I get back home from the walkthrough, fuming, telling Madison exactly what's going on, trying to calm myself down, being like, you know what? I ain't doing legal work for this bitch anymore. I ain't giving her a fucking shred of advice. That ship has sailed. So then I'm on edge waiting for that email, right? And I'm like, fuck, I do not need this right now. I'm about to have a photo shoot. I'm about to have a product launch. I'm still in the middle of fucking moving. Everything seems to be breaking at the same time. Like, I don't need this, but I am not letting this bitch take advantage of me. I mean, I will go to fucking court, because when I got home, I went and pulled my lease. And all that it said is that all I needed to take care of was the lawn and the shrubbery. And I did that. So I was like, hell no, bitch. You don't have a leg to stand on. I am not going to let you take advantage of me. And I was prepared to go to court. And I was like, fuck, this is not the best time to go to court. But I tried to reframe it. And I was like, but you know what? I've been dying to go to court. I've been dying to do something like this. I mean, this was my favorite part about being a lawyer. I love going to court. I love depositions. You bet your ass I'd request a discovery deposition that I would take. Oh, my God. Oh, man, I almost kind of wish it. Never mind. Man, that would have been fun. So even though I have reframed it, even though I am being positive as fuck, I'm still anxious about waiting for the email, right? I'm still like, damn, what are they going to say? If I was them, I would have gone back into the house and tried to find more things that were wrong just to try to make a legitimate case, because the one she was making wasn't sticking. But I don't really know the rules about that. I mean, maybe if it's not identified at the walkthrough, maybe you can't bring it up. That's what I would argue, honestly, because I would say you went and broke shit and then said that it was my doing. Yeah, that's what I would have said. So the walkthrough took place on a Tuesday. I told myself that if I did not hear from her by Friday, I was going to send her a text message and just ask what's the status of the email. Friday rolls around, no email. So I text her. I'm like, hey, where's the email? And she texts me back and she said, oh, I can cover the tree trimming, but the shrubbery, I can't cover. So I'm going to get you an invoice for next week. Also, it needs to be the property needs to be deep cleaned so I can turn it over to our new tenant, just like it was cleaned for you when you arrived. So when I got that text message, I had a wave of rage come over me, but I let the wave just go, right? The wave came over me and I just let it wash over me off the back. I didn't stay in it, which was really good. There were so many things I could have said. I could have gotten way into the weeds about how this is bullshit, how you're trying to take advantage of me, how you just were asking for money, and then now all of a sudden you're trying to claim that all of these extra services were somehow my obligation under the lease. No, bitch. So I wrote her back and I said, the issues you have identified are not the tenant's obligation under the lease. I was only required to take care of the lawn and shrubbery, which I did on a monthly basis. I also am not responsible for a deep clean. The property was dirty when it was turned over to me. I sent pictures of the state of the property when I moved in back in October. I also spent hours cleaning the property before the walkthrough, leaving it in a much better condition than when I left it. So now we're adversarial. Now we're diametrically opposed. She doesn't respond to me, not surprisingly. So then I was expecting a legit email. And on Sunday, I got a text message from her agent asking me for my email address, indicating to me that they were about to send me this, like, fuck you email asking for all this money. So I give her my email address, and I'm really nice because she's not the one who is involved in this. It's the fucking landlord. And I ask her, could she please copy my agent on the email? And she goes, oh, no, this is coming directly from the landlord. And I was like, okay, well, I didn't say this, but I was thinking, why didn't she just text me for my email address? She and I have been texting since I moved in back in October, for almost for a year. Why did she not just ask me for my email address? Then it became apparent to me that she was probably really pissed. And the only reason that I could think of her being pissed is that she knew she was wrong, or someone told her she had no claim at all to keep the deposit money or any portion of the deposit money. So then on Sunday at like 11 p.m., I get an email from her, no written words in the email. It's simply, so the title is 100% deposit refund. Lovely. Woohoo. And there's just a screenshot of the check request from her bank. And not even a signature. She didn't even write her name. And I'm like, oh, she mad. Oh, she real mad. Because she was wrong. And because she caused all of these issues when she didn't have to. And she also fucked up the situation where I offered to give her advice, because I ain't offering that advice anymore. I don't want to help anymore. You tried to pull a fast one on me, and I'm not here for it. But I am very grateful that I'm getting my deposit returned, because I was, you know, it was plaguing me that I was going to have to fight for it. Even though I was game, even though I was, you know, I'm ready to go, I did not want to have to go, especially right now, because this is one of the busiest times of my life. I'm having a bit of an issue with my animals. So I have a dog, Sadie, and I have a cat, Lydia. You know, when I moved into the first house in Miami, I had my therapist write a note to the landlord that Lydia and Sadie were emotional support animals. Therefore, I don't need to pay a pet deposit, even though I did pay a pet deposit. Because the rental initially did not allow for pets. And if you have emotional support animals, I think legally you cannot be denied a lease application because of that. I'm pretty sure. Anywho, it's become apparent to me that they are not my emotional support animals and that I am their emotional support human. They act as if I am put here solely on this planet for their benefit. Like my existence is only, like the only purpose of my existence is to serve them. They also have confirmed for me that reincarnation is real, because I don't think they've only been animals in their past lives. Sadie especially. The bitch has anxiety, hella anxiety. And there ain't no way she's got like wolf blood or dog or whatever they're descended from. There's no way she's only lived as an animal, because she is so terrified of rain, thunder, and lightning, all natural elements. There's no way that she would be afraid of that if she was solely a dog, her soul. Her soul has been a human before, because I don't think dogs have anxiety, but she does. Like naturally, like I don't think animals have natural anxiety, but she does. Have natural anxiety from the weather, but she does. Also, the vet told me that Sadie and Lydia should always want to eat. Like no matter what you're putting in front of them, they would always want it. That's not the case. They are finicky as fuck. They know the specific flavors of their different dog food and cat food, and they will get sick of it and refuse to eat it. The most burdensome thing about grocery shopping is buying their food because they can't tell me what they want. And so I'm just out here guessing. Like for months, Lydia would not eat pate Fancy Feast. She would only eat gravy Fancy Feast. And then all of a sudden, we get to this new house and she hates the gravy Fancy Feast. And now she only eats the pate Fancy Feast. What are the fucking odds? How am I supposed to keep up with these demands? And they follow me into every single room. They follow me every single place that I go. Right now, I have the door closed, but I can say, hey, Sadie is right outside the door. I don't know what to do about it. I need a little me time. I need a little time by myself. And Lydia, God dang it, Lydia, every single night and morning, she cries. I don't know what to do. It interrupts my sleep so much. And now she does this thing where she just stares at the door to the garage and she just cries like she wants to go out there. And I'm like, bitch, there is nothing out there for you. What do you want? I do not know. I do not know how to make them happy. I don't know. Sadie gets so scared at night whenever it starts raining. Oh, and it rains every day and every night. So Sadie just shakes. She just shakes and she shakes and she can't move. She has paralysis. She's like, you know, they say you have fight or flight. Well, there's a third. It's fight or flight or freeze. She freezes. Like the other day we were taking a walk. And it started pouring down rain when we were walking, like really coming down. And she just stood in the rain and shook and wouldn't walk. She just shaking. And I had to pick her up like a baby. And I'm walking down the street, like with the dog, carrying her in my arms. Like, and she's just shaking because of the fucking rain. It wasn't even thundering. It was just raining. How does she not like water? I don't understand. She doesn't like water. Oh, I'm fully convinced I'm her emotional support human. Like in the middle of the night when she starts shaking, I have to get up from my bed because she all of a sudden forgot how to jump on the bed. And so I have to pick her up and put her on the bed and she's just shaking. And she like gets at the top of the bed. And so then I can't fall asleep because she's shaking. So then I get my pillow and go sleep at the foot of the bed. Guys, it's exhausting. And I'm just out here trying to fucking live. I am really happy that I can eat again, though. That is like fucking major. It is so major. This is day two of eating again. And I mean, I'm not eating anything crazy, but it's nice to know that I can actually eat and drink some water because the water was honestly causing acid reflux. It feels like I turn 35 and I get heartburn and acid reflux frequently. Ugh. Good Lord. And I don't even have a bad lifestyle. Like the doctor on the phone. Oh, you know, it's all about lifestyle and what you eat. Bitch, I'm the healthiest I've ever been. I work out every day. I eat pretty damn good. You're going to tell me fucking ramen set me over the edge? And a grilled cheese? I don't think so. So I did make an appointment with a specialist next week just to get checked out because I mean, what if something's lodged in my esophagus? What if they go in there and find grilled cheese? It's highly possible. Oh, another thing, I don't know if y'all can tell, but I have upgraded the sound for the podcast. I have a legitimate fucking mic. I have a legitimate fucking audio recorder. Like, we are coming up. This was a one-year anniversary present to myself for the podcast. The next present will be video. I will get back up on video. I'm just, you know, really out here trying to survive with this product launch, this social media marketing plan, this fucking LP Rich photo shoot. Like, it's a lot. It's a lot. And I'm doing it all on my own. I'm figuring it all out on my own. And... But, you know, I'm doing it. I'm at the place where we're past the point of no return. I have to deliver. I literally have to deliver. And that's what I'm going to do. How's the sound? Can y'all tell that I have upgraded the sound? When I tested the mic and I heard it, I was like, holy fuck, this sounds good. This sounds so good. I haven't even soundproofed my room yet. I haven't even done that. I think this is going to be good, and I'm pretty impressed with myself for figuring this shit out. I mean, So I had this audio recorder for like a week and I could not figure it out. I was using the directions. I was online, on Reddit, on YouTube, on everything. And I just decided that I was going to call the people who make it, the manufacturer of the, or I guess it's not the manufacturer. So I decided that I was going to call the maker who sold this specific audio recorder and see if they could help me. And lo and the fucking hold, they did. Called me, helped me set it up. Oh my God, I'm like, was so relieved. Whenever he told me how to do it, I was like, there's no way it's as simple as you're saying it is. There's no fucking way. And he goes, well, let's just see. And we did see. So I hope y'all like the new sound. I saw a study the other day that said that Miami is the rudest city in the United States. The study asked residents about the prominence of typically rude behaviors. So the rude behaviors were lack of self-awareness, talking on speakerphone in a shared place, not acknowledging strangers, lack of care for others, impoliteness with service staff members, and not letting others merge in front of them while driving. Wow. Okay. So I've definitely experienced a lack of self-awareness. Really, it's a lack of spatial awareness, specifically in grocery stores. People just stand in the middle of the aisle with their grocery cart with no concern for anyone else. No regard. They just don't care. And they don't move. They just stand there and they just look. They don't even look at you. Which is another item on the rude list, not acknowledging strangers. That is very common. I come from a place, New Orleans and Mississippi, where everyone talks to everyone all the time. Even unsolicited. Actually, it's very quite common for unsolicited chatter. And I don't mind it. I mean, it kind of makes you feel like you're all connected. It makes you feel like you're in the community. It makes you feel like people like acknowledge your presence. Not here. No, people just kind of stick to themselves. They act like you don't, like you're not there. And they're just like kind of bitchy about it, but in a very subtle way. Talking on speakerphone in a shared place, that one really, 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 really bothers me. So when I was sitting in the waiting room for the hand doctor, I don't know if I've even told you all this, but I have a ganglion cyst on my wrist. I've had it since like 2016. It was really big at one point. I had no idea what it was. It went down. Now it has traveled like under my wrist and I have been to the doctor. I'm likely going to have a surgery, but not yet. Anywho, when I was at the doctor in the waiting room, there was a woman talking on the phone. She obviously was a real estate agent and talking about this deal she had and talking about how it was going into litigation and all of this shit and just literally talking sensitive information. And I'm like, bitch, get off speakerphone. Shut the fuck up. Stop it. No one wants to hear your conversation. And I don't know if this is the case, but I feel like for a lot of people, they just want to be like, I'm so important. And so I'm just going to talk on speakerphone so everyone knows the work I'm doing and how important I am. I talk on speakerphone too, but at home because I don't like holding the phone up to my ear. But I'd never do it in public because I think that is just so rude. No one wants to hear your conversation. Hang up the phone. Lack of care for others and impoliteness with service staff members, I have not experienced. One, I always get delivery, and I really don't go out all that much, but I haven't seen like a lack of care for others. I'm just like a disregarding of other people. Like if something happened, I don't know. One thing that I have noticed though is not letting others merge in front of them while driving. The driving here is terrible. It is absolutely deplorable. People are savage. People are rude. People just hit you. You have to operate like every single person on the road is going to hit you. And then there's all these little scooters, little scooting, thinking they own the in between the lanes, all the lines. And they don't wear helmets. You don't have to wear helmets on motorcycles or scooters or whatever here. Oh my God, y'all, Florida is a wild place. Let me just tell you that. It's been really, really jarring moving from like the most hospitable city, New Orleans, to what has been named the rudest city, Miami. really weird, but it is what it is. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing. So Madison does not like that, you know, people are not friendly here, like overtly friendly, like they are in New Orleans or in Mississippi. She does not like that. I don't like it per se, but I also am like, it is what it is. So maybe I'll just use it to my advantage and I won't look at other people either. And I won't give anyone else my energy. And I won't be saying hi to people and exerting that energy where it's not going to be reciprocated. Because it kind of does feel like shit when you wave to someone or you say good morning to someone and they just look at you or they don't even acknowledge you. It sucks. Oh my gosh, did y'all see that Billy McFarland, the guy who went to jail over throwing Fyre Festival, is doing a Fyre Festival do-over. And he says, this time, he says, it has to work. This headline says, Fyre Festival 2 is happening. The only question is where and when and how. Those are all really good questions, Billy. I hope you get those worked out. If anyone out there actually buys a ticket to Firefest, you are stupid. I'm sorry. For those of you who don't know what Fyre Festival is, go on Hulu or on Netflix and watch the Fyre Festival documentaries. Actually, watch both of them because they're both very different from different perspectives. It's sad, but it's comical. But this dude was delusional and he blew past every single red flag and stopping point, and he just said, fuck it, and kept going. Oh, and he also, like, promised investors all this shit, took money from people, like, was taking money from people to pay other people, like a fucking scheme, and he went to jail for it. And I guess he's out of jail, and now he wants to do another Fyre Festival. I think I'm gonna sit that one out. Billy, I'm not going to attend that festival. Oof, I don't know if this is a joke or not, but I saw that there is going to be a Katrina the movie. I don't know if this is true or not. Apparently, someone with Comedy Central, I believe, maybe it's Comedy Central, I could be wrong about that, is preparing or working on a Katrina the movie, which I guess would be about Hurricane Katrina, but this is supposed to be a comedy. I don't know how well this is going to be received. The announcement for the movie was made on the anniversary of Katrina, August 29th, and I just don't know how this is going to be received because people really lost a lot. That was a very hard time for a lot of people. There was a lot of like depression following Katrina. There was a lot of, I don't know how it's going to be received, but it says, despite surge in controversy, Katrina comedy gets green light. Okay. We'll give you the green light. I mean, but at the same time, we can heal through it. Like, I mean, I guess, has it been long enough? I mean, next year will be the 20-year anniversary of Katrina. The reason I know it so well, well, specifically, is because Madison was born 6 weeks before Hurricane Katrina. So when we were evacuating, with a six-week-old beautiful baby girl. But let me tell you what, that was stressful. That was stressful as fuck. I cried almost the whole way. So I'd like to see, I mean, I'm interested. It has my attention, but I don't know how it's going to be received. So if any of y'all hear about it or see anything else, send it to me on my Instagram at Lindsay_Sobel or at the Rich Room Podcast. Oh my gosh, did y'all see this lawsuit with Disney? So apparently there was a wrongful death lawsuit from this husband, him and his wife. I think they were at a Disney resort, and I think what happened is that his wife, despite telling the staff about, I think, a nut allergy, was actually given nuts and died, had an allergic reaction and died. So the husband filed a wrongful death suit, which is like an ordinary suit brought in the court system. Well, Disney is trying to dismiss the wrongful death suit, arguing that the husband had a Disney Plus account, and the Disney Plus account, you know, like user agreement, requires that any issue be arbitrated. So the Disney is essentially saying that the case should go through arbitration instead of going through the court system, going through a jury. Okay, two things. First, I think this is awful because this guy's wife died, and I think she made the staff at Disney aware of the suit, and she was still given the food that she was allergic to, and she died. So that's fucking awful. I feel so bad for this guy. On the other side of the coin, this is a genius move by Disney's lawyers. What a creative argument. I'm sure there's got to be a way around it, though. I'm sure the Disney Plus arbitration has to arise out of something related to Disney Plus. I cannot imagine that a wrongful death suit would be covered under the types of claims that are brought for arbitration pursuant to Disney Plus. I just can't imagine that is the case. But it's a creative-ass argument. It's a creative-ass argument. Whenever you're an attorney and you're reading these things, there is kind of a lack of empathy with the people involved. I mean, there's not, but there is. Like, you get a little desensitized to these issues because every single case that you read about is an issue. It has people in it. It has sad stuff in it. Well, not every single case, but you know what I'm saying. So you get desensitized to these kinds of issues. But on the flip side, this guy, his wife died, and it doesn't sound, and it sounds like Disney shares some culpability there. So let's see how that fucking shakes out. Oh my God. Oh my gosh. I read this article and I thought it was a joke at first, but I don't think it is. The school in El Paso, Texas bans all black clothing because it's associated with depression. Wait. That's not true. It's associated with slimming. It's a slimming effect. Black is very slimming and very elegant and very regal. I don't think black is associated with depression. The dress code says that it will ban students from wearing head-to-toe black clothing because, according to the administrators, the look is associated with depression and mental health issues. Charles Middle School principal Nick DeSantis. Okay, is he related to Ron? Because that would make a lot of sense. You guys, we are wasting so much energy and time and money on these stupid ass issues. This shit is not important. Like, all black? Audrey Hepburn wore all black, y'all. Like, all black is a vibe. It's a look. It looks like amazing. I cannot even believe this. Well, I wear all black all the time, like on a very regular basis, and I am not depressed. In fact, I am as sunshine and rays and happy as a clam. I mean, despite the mental breakdown inside, I mean, it's not a mental breakdown. It's just like an emotional breakdown, and that happens after so many fucking things keep hitting you over the fucking head. You're bound to break at some point. Crying is okay. Y'all, I saw this article that said this guy is charging his wedding guest $450 each to attend his wedding. Okay, don't y'all know people don't really want to go to your weddings? Like, they don't really want to go. I mean, some weddings are fun, like my wedding was fun, despite the marriage not lasting, but most people don't want to go to your weddings, and especially if they're going to pay. I won't go to a wedding that has a cash bar, and you're going to try and charge $450 for me to attend your wedding. I mean, I know he didn't ask me, but for me to attend your wedding? Hell no, never in 100 years. I don't give a fuck about your wedding. He better not ask for a gift either. I bet he did. I bet they have a registry, but they have a registry and they're charging $450 each. That's just ridiculous. That's just fucking ridiculous. No one's coming to your wedding, bro. I know y'all saw that girl do the Olympics breakdancing, right? what is her name? Rachel Gunn. She's from Australia. That was embarrassing. I'm glad the hate has kind of died down online because, you know, I didn't want her to, you know, be sent over the edge about it because I feel like all of the controversy surrounding her breakdancing has caused the Olympics to no longer have that category in the Olympics. And I'm sure the other people who are legitimate breakdancers are pissed. Here's the thing. She could move, but the moves were just lame. Like, I think, who's her choreographer? Like, does she choreograph that? I need to know. Because the choreographer is really the one who should be on trial here. That's really the person who should be taking the hit. Because if she didn't choreograph that and she just performed it and she had a coach, like, there was a team. There's a team of people. I'm sure it takes a lot to get to the Olympics. And so did all of these people just say, bitch, you're amazing. This is fire. Like, you are fucking killing it. You are the break dance queen. No one gave her any objectivity. We need to make sure we don't surround ourselves by yes men. This is an important lesson. That is it for this episode, y'all. Please join me in celebrating 1 year of the Rich Room podcast. I am very proud of it, and I hope to keep this bitch going and just improving further. And then for the next year, I want to be more consistent. I know I was pretty consistent in the front end of this, and then it kind of like petered out a little bit, but I'm not gone. I'm still going. So thank you for sticking with me because I appreciate each and every one of you. Be sure to follow my social media at Lindsay_Sobel and at the Rich Room Podcast. Have a great fucking Saturday, y'all, and I will see you next week. See you later.